Our words be spoken tonight and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I've titled this message, What Lie Has Become Your Truth?
What lie has become your truth?
Your truth.
Go back to life.
So if we start in Genesis, I'm going to read a scripture from Genesis 2. 17. You may freely eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of this fruit, you will surely die.
You said that was Genesis
17. 2:17.
2:17.
And then Genesis 3:3. It is only the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. This is the serpent talking to Eve now. God was telling us everything about the trees in the first verse. It is only the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that you are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. It's really interesting because God didn't say anything about touching the tree. So Eve added to what God said. So the moment she added, it became a lie. It was no longer true. But because she spoke it, she believed it. As far as God was concerned, they could probably even build a tree house in that tree, live in it, do whatever they wanted, as long as they didn't eat the fruit, because that's all he said was, don't eat the fruit. But Eve somehow had to add to God. She thought she knew better than God, so when the serpent tempted her, she said, you can't even touch it. So when we add to anything, it becomes a lie. The truth was, God said, don't eat all the fruit. That was it. Plain and simple. It wasn't complicated. But Eve made it more complicated and more than what it really was. And as soon as she lied and opened her mouth, she gave the serpent, she submitted to the lie and to the serpent and gave the devil an open door into her life. Shame, all the stuff came upon her if she had just stuck to what was true. But her lie became her truth. And we know results of that. It's very easy to add even the smallest things sometimes to what God has said, or what somebody else has said, or what we have even said, or what we know to be true, for whatever reason. But we have to remember, as soon as we add anything, it becomes a lie. So I ask, what lie has become your truth? Another scripture that I'm going to read. It's 1 Samuel. Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called, I am a Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, we will be your slaves, but if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Saul and the Israelites believed that Goliath was too big to fight. They did not believe that God, the great I Am, the one who they have served and who has rescued them numerous times, is not big enough to conquer Goliath. The lie that God was too small, that God could not take them out of this situation, that God could not defeat their enemy, became their truth. They were frozen. They could not go out and fight. It says they were terrified and shaken because they let their circumstances be bigger than their God. So their circumstances that lie became their truth. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and we can't see a way out. But if we believe that God is who he says he is, and that is our truth and not our circumstances, then God will deliver us from it. What lie has become our truth? Numbers 13:31-33. The scripture is when the spies went in to spy out the land. Mm-hmm. 11 spies, 10 spies came back and said, We can't take it. The land will devour us. The land, anybody living in that land will be devoured. Now, there was people living in that land. They were there in that land. They were devoured. So here they are making lies up to justify their fears. Mm-hmm. They also said that they were giants in the land and that they were so big that they felt like grasshoppers. And the people there believed that the spies were grasshoppers who felt the same way. So I have to ask, did they sit down and talk to the people there and say, hey, you think we look like grasshoppers compared to you or what? So they kept exaggerating on every truth to make it into a lie. They had discord, they were fearful, but their fear overtook them and became their truth. They weren't going to die if you lived in the land, because people were living in the land. There might have been giants there, large people, but they weren't the size of grasshoppers compared to the giants. So they exaggerated what was true. And by saying and believing these lies became their truth, they did not go in and take them on. They were too afraid, and they let the lies become truth. And they ended up 40 years before they went back in to the land. Sometimes we believe what we see with our eyes, but we don't always see everything in the true way. Because we don't know all the circumstances around what we're seeing. And a good advantage is there is when I went hunting with my husband, I went, look at that. I thought it was a doe out there. And as we got closer, it was a tree. It was but I was so excited thinking, oh wow, I saw a deer out here. Well, yeah, my eyes had deceived me, but my belief was that it was actually a deer. So I could have taken a shot at that, which really would have been foolish to shoot a tree. But if I had truly believed and not checked what my eyes were really seeing. Mm-hmm. So our eyes can deceive us very easily. And the enemy will use things to deceive us with our eyes and things around us. The second thing they were doing was they were assuming. And I want you to read this definition of assuming. Used for the purpose of arguing to indicate a premise of which statement can be based. In other words, when you assume, you want to be right. You want your facts to be truth. A purpose of argument. If you have to argue your truth, whose truth are you believing? If you state your facts, if you state the truth, and somebody else wants to argue, let them argue. Because if you know and are standing untruth and it's not a lie, there's nothing to argue about. But when you assume it is already sitting, you're going to argue with the truth. The other thing we have a tendency to do is believe our emotions. My boss did a lot of that for me. Their emotions are up and down. So if I put that on all my emotions all the time, let's face it, a lot of things in this world would change quickly. I mean, you know, one day you're, you know, raging maniac, the next day you're sweet as pie, but, you know, you don't act on those raging maniac things because it's not truth. It's, if I allow my emotions to be my truth, then I believe in a lie of God. So the lie of my emotions has now become the truth. It's not God. He's never intended for us to go on what we see. He's never intended us to walk our lives on emotions or on assuming what's going to happen. See, when we do these things and we assume we move on our emotions, we're allowing Satan to tell us what is true. And his lies, if you believe they are truth, will take you to a very bad place. But if you stand on God's truth, it takes you where God wants you to go. So, what lie has become your truth? So let's see somebody who stood on truth. But the difference was, David was at the front lines with Saul and his brothers. They're all shaking, they're all scared. David says, what are you going to do if I go kill the guy? So they said, you can't do that. And he says, the Lord who has rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear will rescue me from the Philistine. Mm-hmm. That was David's truth. He knew God to be who he said he was going to be, who he is. He had rescued him from the lion, he had rescued him from the bear. Why would he not rescue him from the Philistines in this situation? He relied on what he knew was truth. He did not let a lie come in, or the lie of fear, the lie of the enemy saying, you can't beat me, I'm a champion. He did not depend on that. He depended on the truth of God, knowing who God was. And you know what? If God hadn't rescued him, it wouldn't have mattered. Because he still knew who God was. But he knew his truth was in his God. Okay, let's see if I can find the word one this time. We're back to the spies. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. And the spies were saying they couldn't do it. Caleb knew who God was. He knew that God had taken him to this point and promised to go into this land. Caleb said, tried to quiet them. Let's go right now. Let's not hesitate. Let's not wait. He knew the truth was that his God wanted them in that land and that they could take it. He didn't hesitate. He didn't give the enemy any time to come in and say, you can't do this. Let's think this through. Let's come up with another plan. He didn't even make a plan. He just said, let's go in and take it. Because he knew the truth. His truth was that God had told them this was their land and that they were going to take it. He was not going to stand on a lie. He was going to stand on the truth. He didn't give any time for Satan to come in and question that they should go and take the land. When we hesitate or wait sometimes when we know we're supposed to move or God wants us to do something, it gives the enemy time to come into our emotions, to come into our thoughts and say, is this really God? Do you think you're capable of doing that? Because believe me, I wouldn't be standing here today if God wasn't who he said he is. So you can't hesitate. When God says to act or move or go or speak to that person, don't give the enemy a chance to fill your head full of lies that become your truth. Stand on what God's truth is. What mine has become your truth. Corey Ten Boom once said, "With God, nothing is too great for his power or too small for his love." We've made God too small sometimes, and we don't think he loves us enough for the small little things in our life. We don't think he sees us. We don't think he knows us. Those are all lies and are not truth. But once you've stated them and once you believe them, they become your truth. They're not from God, they're from the enemy. We can all allow the what-ifs. They always do this. I know I will never get over this. Nothing will ever change. I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. We believe these lies, and when we believe these lies, it stops God from moving. Once we speak these things, we're saying to God, "You can't do this. You can't overcome my circumstances. You can't change this person. You can't change the way I look or the way I feel or if any people accept me." You stopped God from moving in your life, from getting past the what-ifs. They'll never change. This will always be the same. I'll never get over this. I'll never get past this. I'm always stupid. When you believe those lies, you allow them to become your truth, and you've stopped God from working in your life. You've put him in a position where you have no trust in him, that you don't even want him to move because of the truth that you've taken as the lies that you've taken as truth. We should rather say, even if they don't change, even if this happens, I know my God is bigger, and maybe they won't change today, but maybe they'll change tomorrow. Even if I don't feel like I'm capable, God is capable. Mm-hmm. Even if I can't see the goodness in this circumstance, God can, and he can show it to me. Change your words. Don't put the "what if" out there anymore. Put "even if." Mm-hmm. Even if I don't see it today, I will see it tomorrow. Because I want my God to be able to change my circumstances. I don't want to stop him from moving and doing the things he wants to do. I don't want lies to be my truth. I want his word to be my truth. Don't allow the lie to be that God is not capable of changing any situation, changing any person, changing anything that's in your life. Taking away hurt, taking away fear, taking away disappointment. God is bigger than all of this, and he can change it all if we allow him to, if we do not believe the lies as truth. One last scripture. Genesis 15:6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Pretty powerful statement. Abram believed the Lord, and it was counted as righteous because of his faith. It sounds simple. Abram believed the Lord. But Abram believed the Lord for a lot. He took him, he said, "I'm taking you to a place, but I'm not going to show you where we're going." Abram went. He said, "You're going to have a kid. You're over 100, but..." Of course, they're all funny. But the fact that he just simply plain believed, it was counted righteous. I want that to be said of me someday when I stand before the Lord. She believed, and I counted as righteousness in her faith. You know, sometimes it's the littlest things that trip us up, the littlest things we allow to get in. I mean, the big things we see a lot, but the little things we don't all the time. And I even find myself saying something, and the Lord will kind of chasing me out. And it's like, no, I'm not going to say that. You know, just today I was driving, and this guy was driving down two lanes. I'm like, please move over. And I was getting a little irritated. Like, well, forgive me, Lord, because maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you're not feeling well, or maybe, you know, my first thought was they're just being rude, taking up the whole road. But that's not God.
Mm.
I should not think that way. I should have had a compassion for that person and not believe the lie that he was just being rude. The compassion would be, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe I should be praying for this person or whatever. But it's those little things. And once you get the little lies in, they become the truth. The enemy just keeps adding and adding and adding. And pretty soon, you have this huge lie that is your truth, and there's no truth in it. But you can't see it because you've been blinded so much by it. So I think we need to really watch even just the little things to make sure we're not believing the little lies or the little misunderstandings even become bigger than what they are. Or, well, I wonder what they meant by that. Well, maybe nothing. Sometimes you just say things, it doesn't come out maybe quite the way you want it to, but we don't, you know, you jump to the conclusion that what do they want by that? So let's just believe God, believe his word, and don't give the enemy a chance to let his lies become our truth. Let God's word, God's truth, be your truth. Don't compromise on that. I'd like to pray. Anybody, including me, has been believing lies that have become your truth, repent of it. Ask God to forgive you. And ask God to show you what lies have become your truth. Maybe you don't even realize it. Something that is not true at all has become your truth. So just take a minute, quiet your heart, see if there's anything. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you because you're such a forgiving God. Lord, we repent of the lies that we have allowed to be truth in our lives. Lord, we repent for the emotional, that's seeing with our eyes, seeing with our emotions, believing with lies, assuming things that are not true, Lord God. We repent of all this. We know that we are a forgiving God and we forgive us for this. But I ask now that you would open our eyes and our hearts to the lies that we have made truth in our lives. Lord, that we would be made aware of it, that we can come out of agreement with these lies, Lord God, and that we would find your truth in all things, Lord, that we would not make you too small in any circumstance, but that we would believe like Moses, like Abram, and be counted for righteousness, Lord, that our faith would be, my God is bigger, my God can change this, my God can deliver me from anything, Lord God. I thank you now. I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to apply it to our lives to help us walk this out. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Help yourself to more.